So today I'm at Debenhams Otway, our legal experts in St Albans, and I'm talking to Belinda Strange. Now, she's the senior lawyer here, specialising in family, divorce, financial and cohabitation laws. And today we're going to be specifically talking about summer holidays, parental responsibility, child contact. So Belinda, where does it all begin?
Hi, Kerry. Well, we start off thinking about what arrangements we might want to make for children. Now, when we've obviously got children, there are two parents, and we have to determine firstly who's got parental responsibility, because that's fundamental to how we proceed. So parental responsibility basically sets out who's got the right to make decisions regarding a child's upbringing. Now, those decisions can involve what schools the children should go to, what names they should have, what medical treatment they might have, and also how their time should be divided between separated parent. Now, parental responsibility determines how a child's upbringing shall occur until they turn 16 years of age. Once they get over 16 years of age, then realistically the courts don't have any powers over them unless there are special circumstances which apply. So to have parental responsibility, parents, if they are married at the time a child is born, will automatically have what we call PR for short. Or if father, say, is listed on a child's birth certificate with effect from the 1st of December 2003, then he'll automatically have parental responsibility. If that isn't the case, and it does happen from time to time, then parental responsibility can be acquired either by agreement, so mother and father can agree to share parental responsibility and we can prepare a document for them both to sign, which is then lodged at the court. Or if there isn't any agreement, for whatever reason we can't reach a consensus, then one parent can apply to court for an order, and it's normally the father that he should have parental responsibility. Now, often we have same-sex partners. The rules are slightly different, but in essence, if they were civil partners and they'd been through the process at the time they had any IVF treatment to conceive children, then parental responsibility will follow with that. Yeah. So we want to think a bit about arrangements for spending time with each parent over the summer holiday. Now, we don't talk in terms of custody or living together anymore. We talk about shared care arrangements, because the whole terminology changed to make it less acrimonious a couple of years ago. And we want to think about dividing time between parents. Now, normally there's an agreement in place and it's not a problem. Parents maintain a dialogue about day-to-day issues normally relating to their children, and 9 times out of 10 everything can be agreed without a problem. Where there is an issue, maybe they can't sort it out themselves, sometimes mediation can be a really helpful alternative. You'd appoint an independent mediator, go along, have a number of sessions, have a chat, see what the areas of concern are, and the mediator can help you work towards an agreement. So it's a gradual process, and nobody's going to have anything imposed on them which they might not like or might not agree to. Now, needless to say, from time to time, mediation isn't the best way forward, particularly if there's been incidents of violence or there's some serious concerns about one party's behaviour. Perhaps in that case, we can think about making applications to court to apply for a determination of arrangements where there is a dispute. Now, if we're making applications to court, we can ask the court for a number of orders under what's called Section 8 of the Children Act 1989. The starting point is that the courts don't like to get involved. They'll only make orders unless they absolutely have to. There's what's called the no order presumption. So you have to persuade the court, firstly, there's a need to make an order, and then also we need to demonstrate that the parents have got the right, this parental responsibility I mentioned earlier, to make the application. But assuming that's all in order, then we can ask the court for what's called a child arrangements order. That, in essence, would set out the division of a child's time between two or maybe even more households, and how the child's time should be spent with one parent and the other.
When you talk about the different households, and you said maybe more than one or two, are you talking about maybe grandparents?
Grandparents do play a very important role, and quite often if one party's working, they will need to step in and help out with a bit of childcare. Now, unfortunately, grandparents don't have parental responsibility automatically, so they can't bring these types of applications themselves. They can invite the court for permission to make the application before obtaining any orders.
Right.
So a child arrangement order will set out the division of time between both parents. Mm-hmm. But we also have the opportunity to ask the court for a number of other orders. Now, as we're coming up to the summer holidays, often there's an issue regarding travel arrangements and holiday plans.
It's very much on my mind at the moment, because I've got quite a few friends in this situation, and it's all talk about they're taking them there, that's going out of our usual routine, they're going to take them away for 2 weeks, they're going to be with different people, how am I supposed to keep an eye on them, how am I supposed to keep in contact with them without kind of appearing to be annoying, you know? So how do you deal with that?
Well, there's certain things things we can think about. If you can't agree the arrangements in advance and you are of the view that it's not in the child's best interests to go on holiday for whatever reasons, then you can ask the courts to make what's called a prohibitive steps order. So that would be an order stopping something from happening. Otherwise, you can think about making an application for what's called a specific issue order, particularly if you're the parent who wants permission to go on holiday, where you can't get the permission easily from the other parent. You can ask the court to give you that option. So when you're thinking in terms of going away, it's important to look at the starting point. So for example, if there were any pre-existing orders saying who a child should live with, one particular instance is the old-fashioned, what we call residence orders, that would give the parent who has the benefit of a residence order the right to take a child away out of the jurisdiction, so out of the country, for a period of up to 28 days. If there isn't that option, then we do need to think about, if an agreement's not possible, asking for the court to help us.
Yeah.
So when making these types of application, the courts do have to look at all the surrounding circumstances, and what's called the welfare checklist would come into play, because the courts will always look at what's in the best interest of a child. It's not so much what's best or convenient for one parent or the other. Their focus is always on the child's welfare.
That's good to know.
So if the court is asked to make any orders, the first thing they'll do is gather together necessary evidence during the course of a couple of hearings maybe, and some witness statements, and then before making a decision they'll run through the checklist. Now that will ask the court to look at child's ascertainable wishes and feelings, the physical, emotional and educational needs of a child, the effect of any change in the existing arrangements on a child, the child's characteristics, so that would mean their age, their sex, their background, whether there's a risk of harm to the child as a result of any arrangements being proposed, how capable each parent is of meeting the child's needs, and the range of powers which are available to the court. So once the court have gathered together the evidence, and sometimes they need a social worker's report as well, it can then make a decision. But with the schools being about to break up, we can think in advance about making applications, because they do take some time to sort out.
Right.
So it's best not to leave it until the last minute.
How long would it take typically?
Well, ultimately, we're in the hands of the courts as to how quickly they can give us a hearing date. And at the moment, the courts are very overwhelmed with work, so it can take several weeks to sort out. So it's best to make your application as soon as you become aware there's an issue, rather than leave it rumbling on unresolved indefinitely, because the time will soon pass and you won't be able to get away if you want to. So I would say that in the first instance, the best thing to do is to be absolutely frank with the other parent, request permission. Don't just set out a vague notion of "I'd like to go away." You need to be quite specific. So give dates, give flight details if possible, give addresses of where you're going to be staying, what you plan to be doing, outline all your proposals, and also, very importantly, include contact details so that your child can get in touch with the parent who's staying behind. Because a lot of time children will feel a little guilty about going on holiday and having fun, leaving the other parent at home, and they'll be in the midst of some possibly residual conflict between the parents. So you want to make sure that the child can speak to or FaceTime the other parent every couple of days, not so it becomes an imposition and you're demanding telephone calls at 6 p.m. every evening, but just on a regular basis so they maintain that relationship while they're abroad.
Yeah, just check in and make sure everything's okay.
And, Exactly. We also have to think about who's got control of passports, because even if plans can be agreed, sometimes passports aren't handed over in time or get lost. So we need to make sure that arrangements are in place for them to be handed over so you can go away without any problems. Now, if it does come down and we need to make an application to the courts, then the courts normally have to have very good reasons not to allow a well-meaning holiday to take place. Mm-hmm. Very occasionally, if the child's being taken to an area of conflict or possibly even a war zone, then the courts are unlikely to decline. But genuinely, they're very positive and they appreciate a child's need to go away with the other parent.
Mm. I'm thinking, if they were going to take them away to, say, for example, they were from a different country originally and they were taking them back to see their grandparents in that other country, you know, the risk of them staying there and not coming back, would have an influence on the court?
If there was a real and imminent risk of a child not being returned home, then the courts would have to strongly consider whether or not it's appropriate for there to be a prohibitive steps order. If there is that genuine concern, and you can back it up with evidence, it's got to be more than just having a fear that something might happen. You need to have something more to persuade a court to justify making the orders you want. So say, for example, you know through the grapevine or somebody said something or there's evidence that he's taken a job or obtained a house in another country and you are genuinely concerned, then yes, we can ask the courts to stop an application for travel arrangements. We can apply for what's called an all ports alert. So that would notify any immigration points that you're going through customs. There's a problem here and children could be pulled to one side. We can also let the police know. We need 48 hours notice though of any planned travel to put all these arrangements in place. Yeah. And we can apply on an emergency basis for a prohibitive steps order to stop any travel. If, for example, a child does go on holiday and it all seemed fairly innocuous at the start and then doesn't return when you're hoping they would be brought home, then we might have to consider whether there's been a criminal offence. Right. Now, child abduction is a very serious offence involving children under the age of 16, where a parent without lawful authority or reasonable excuse doesn't bring a child home to the parents they're supposed to be living with. Now, it is thankfully very rare, and in 2014 or 15, when the latest figures were available from the Office of National Statistics, there were 822 reported cases. If you are concerned that by allowing a holiday that might transpire, there are steps you can put into place before allowing any travel. So you can take fingerprints, photographs of not only the children, but the potential abductors as well, and notify the passport office just in case any passports are reported stolen or anybody wants to apply for replacements. But it is something that can be dealt with depending on which country they're in. Most countries are signed up to the Hague Convention now, so we would need an application back to the High Court to start the process of recovery children from another country. And if you do have any concerns, the International Child Abduction and Contact Unit are fantastic. They do have a very good online presence and there's a lot of information out there if that is a concern.
Brilliant. One more question I've got for you, Belinda, is I'm a single parent and my children have a different surname to their father. So when their father takes them abroad, he runs into difficulties. Do you provide a kind of legal document that would allow him to take the children abroad when they've got different surnames?
You often find that immigration control at the country you're visiting will have a requirement that you set out, if you're the mother, for example, clear permission for the father to take the children into the country. So I'd always make sure that any people travelling to another jurisdiction would find out whether there are any specific requirements. From time to time, you can have a look on their country's website. Their consulate would normally have details. It's probably just a matter of filling in a form, having both parents sign it, just to confirm that, yes, you give permission for your child to be taken to that country.
Because recently he took my children to Italy and I'd written a note saying I'm allowing him to take it and they said this is not good enough. You know, they wanted more kind of proper evidence.
Indeed. Normally the letter would have to be endorsed by a solicitor. You'd have to confirm your ID as well to demonstrate that you are the parent, that you have parental responsibility and that you consent to these travel plans.
And you can offer that service.
Absolutely. We can make whatever inquiries we need to of the relevant consulate and we can help with your applications, so there's no problems at immigration.
Brilliant. Thank you. Belinda, it's been an absolute delight talking to you today. And I guess that if anyone is worried about child contact over the summer holidays, any of these issues that we've discussed today, what's the best way to get in touch?
Well, they can either telephone on 01727 738250 or email us at Debenhams Otterways, or we've got a great website. If they want to just have a look, there's email and phone links on there as well.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you for having us, Kerry.